All the small things in this season added up to a successful season for the Kansas City Royals. 167 days, I think, until spring training starts.
Is that
starts.
What it is? 100, like, I think that's okay, what it so is. So that's basically a baseball season until spring training starts on the 15th. And if you're looking for something to do between now and then, join us for free open play on Fridays at Foaling in October. Every Friday from 2 to 6. Get in early, get Foaling, and just be in before 6 o'clock, and it's free. Plus, they'll have rotating drink specials, seasonal selections for the fall. You know those fall pumpkin beers that everybody loves so much. Have a large group and you need to hold some space, you can make reservations as well at their website, foalingkc.com. On the link, get your foal on and have some fun. Foaling is at 435 and State Line. You're absolutely going to love it, whether it's for a date night, whether it's for your family, whatever the case may be. Get in there and check them out. Foalingkc.com is where you can reserve a lane. Get on out there, foal around, and find out, baby.
And if you've ever wanted to get some frustration out, you can throw a football at some pens as hard as you possibly want.
Absolutely, you can. But you know what? Like, I don't think it's a frustrating day. I think it's the beginning of what's going to be fun.
Correct.
And not only baseball here in Kansas City. We got a rival now, guys, and that's the biggest thing that I'm going to take away from this. Dusty, you're 37, I'm 47, Mac, you're 15. And in our lifetimes, we've never had a true baseball rival, right? Like, our dads and grandpas now will tell us about the Yankees rivalry from the 70s, mm-hmm. right? Not many people really truly remember the Yankee rivalry in the 70s. And then for 40 years, we've been in this American League Central Division where there's literally no appealing team whatsoever, right? Mm-hmm. Like, is there any team you really get mad about? Like, the White Sox really stink. The Indians are whatever. The Tigers, meh, whatever. The Twins are for sale. You want to buy the Twins, Dusty? You got a couple extra bucks to go buy a baseball team?
No, I don't.
You don't have that. Mac, you do?
No. You know who's got more money than I do? Haley Welsh and Lieutenant Dan.
Lieutenant Dan, is he getting paid now?
You know he's going to.
He just got
a reality
deal
show
from a streamer on Kick.
He did. Good for him. Good for him, man. He needs
and you know
that.
Steve will do. It'll go out there and give him a Rolex and probably $100K in cash. And all that sort of stuff. Yeah. And here we are struggling to pay bills.
Right, exactly. Right. This guy with one leg on a boat.
So
is
survive
stupid.
A hurricane with one leg and you can be a millionaire.
Yeah, you can be. Hey, who wants to be a millionaire? I do.
Lose
yeah.
your leg, lose your teeth, smoke some cigs, and live on a boat.
Live on a boat, and you too can be a millionaire.
Sounds like a life.
But the rivalry's back, guys. Like, we have a rival now. And that's the when the slide happened in the second base and then the pillow fight started and all the fat guys lumbered out of the bullpen.
Did you see Brady Singer?
No, I was on the other side of the stadium.
He sprinted out of that bullpen ready to throw a haymaker.
Good for him.
I think so.
Yeah, but nobody ever throws anything in these baseball fights.
Hey, man, I like what Vern said last night as I was driving home. Michael Garcia has a lot more patience than I do, because if Volpe's out there touching me and keeps shoving me and throws an elbow, man, I'm throwing a hook.
I saw the still picture of that, and Volpe had his forearm like around the neck. I mean, like,
he's a lot braver than I. He's a lot more calm than I am. Now I would get my ass kicked. I'm not gonna lie to you, lover, not a fighter. A lot of big friends that I could run my mouth behind. But look, man.
But the rivalry, either way, is back. And we have a baseball rivalry now. And that's been the biggest thing for me that's been kind of missing. Now, because the Royals stunk for 30 years, too. Let's not forget that. So when you stink, you don't have a real rival. But last night in this series, I think we saw a rivalry develop. I mean, after the game, Jazz Chisholm is pouring the champagne all over himself. And they're booing him, in the clubhouse. They're making a big deal out of it. The stadium, I had a woman in front of me giving the finger the whole night to Jazz Chisholm, to which my daughter thought was hysterical. She goes, look at that woman, give him the finger, this guy. It's great. But that's the other thing that we take away from this. Like, when the Royals and Yankees play now going forward, it's going to be nasty. It's going to be ugly. And that's a good thing, man. That's a really good thing. You don't arrive on the scene, from what I've been told over the years by baseball men. All the old baseball men are telling me these stories. Like, when teams start to fight you, that's when you know you've arrived. Look at the 14-15 Royals, right? When did they really arrive? When every mother bleeping team in Major League Baseball was trying to fight them because they were getting under their skin. The Royals got under their skin. They lost the battle last night, but you know what? The war is going on, and we got many years to go out there and dominate and to turn this thing the other direction. But last night was the first kind of battle of that war, and it's going to be good if it continues like this, man. I love the fact that these two teams really do not like each other, and we got a good rivalry back in baseball.
Yeah, it's funny you use the comparison of the 70s, because a lot of similarities, right? Yankees, Royals, in in Kauffman Stadium. You remember the, well, we don't remember it, but you hear about the scene of Patek weeping in the dugout.
Yeah.
Bobby Witt Jr. didn't leave the dugout. It was the last one they were watching the Yankees celebrate on his field.
I ran out of the stadium. I'm not kidding. Like, I ran shirtless? Out of the stadium when, no, not shirtless. I thought about it, though. But I ran out of the stadium when the Patriots beat us in that playoff game, and we was right by the exit and ran out. We were like the first car out of the parking lot. Mm. Same feeling last night. I didn't want to watch them celebrate last night. I didn't need to see that last night. We lost the game. I don't want to see a bunch of people jump around and celebrate when we're not having fun. So I was at that stadium as fast as I possibly could last night.
Cody, Alex, and I, we were at the game last night in the locker room.
Did you go in the Yankee side and get champagne on you or not?
I didn't want that.
Yeah.
No. I felt like I was getting baptized by the devil if that was to happen.
Yeah.
But we went out there after everything out of the locker room, and I'm going to play some stuff out of the locker room for you from Bobby Witt Jr. and Vinny Pasquantino. But it was tough. Like, we all three wanted to get like a final photo, but we couldn't. It was ruined for us because the Yankees and their family were still out there.
Yeah.
The kids running around the field having fun, doing their celebratory thing.
Which is cool, you know.
And I felt it.
So,
you know?
So did you leave Kauffman Stadium last night in a good mood?
No.
Okay. Because in 2014, Josh and I walked out of that stadium after Game 7, and we're like, that was awesome, you know, because we hadn't seen that in 29 years.
Yeah.
And we knew the locker room was down, but we were like, man, that was a hell of a run. That was so much fun. Now, losing in Game 7 of the World Series and going all that way is a little bit different, I guess, than the ALDS. But I remember leaving that game in 2014 thinking to myself, by God, we're back, baby. This was a lot of fun. Let's see what can happen next. And it was that night in 2014 where the Royals said, we're winning this whole thing next year. They'll tell you all those stories about it. Like, they're winning this thing next year. And I hope this team has that kind of same approach. Like, we came this far. We're not going home early again.
And this was Bobby Witt Jr. in the locker room after game last night.
It's just motivation. That's where we want to be. And so, just got to keep working. Get better each and every day. And so, I think the best yet to come for this team. We showed. I don't think we were supposed to be in this situation here, but we were. So it's just we got a special team. So gonna keep riding out.
How do you summarize just this series?
It's tough. It's not what you want. That's really it. It just kind of feels like you let a lot of people down whenever you do things like this. But it's part of the game. Kind of something that will light a torch in you and leave you a bad taste for the future, because now, for the Kansas City Royals baseball, this is what we want. This is what we're going to do every year. We're in postseason. Now it's how far are we going to go? It's not how we're going to get there. It's how far we're going to go. And so that's what we're going to work for, and that's what we're going to do.
Bobby, what was the...
I hope he doesn't really think he let a lot of people down. I hope that's just athlete speak after a hard-fought series.
I mean, his eyes...
he did not let anybody down.
Yeah, I mean, his eyes were watery and wet. You could tell that it was an emotional thing. And then when asked about what it means to the city...
Yeah, that's the goal. That's now not even the goal. That's reality. That's who we are now, and that's what Royals baseball is. That's just what we're going to keep working for. We're going to keep getting better each and every day throughout this offseason. And so, just going to be one step at a time, but this team is special, and I just want to say thank you to the fans coming out. Just it was a special year, but like I said, it felt like a letdown, so there's a lot of bad taste in everyone's mouths, and so it's just going to be more motivation for us for the time to come.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, the way he should look at it, but I hope he doesn't feel the burden and the pressure and, like, stress that he feels like he let Royals fans down. Because if you're waking up this morning and you feel let down by what the Royals did, I think you're coming at it from the wrong direction. You should wake up this morning and go, you know what, damn, that sucks. I want to win. But the big picture, and that's how I kind of view sports micro versus macro, right? The micro is, yeah, last night really sucked. This stunk losing that series. But the micro is, oh, my God, we had a team kind of come alive before our eyes. We had an owner come alongside of this organization and give them the resources necessary to go out there and compete. And I was talking to some people over the last 2 days out at the stadium about the Allard Baird years and how he was going, you know, basically trying to compete with major league teams, and they were giving him 5 cents when everybody else had $5 million. Right. And so we're out of that era of baseball here in Kansas City. We're in an era now where we're going to be as on level of a playing field as we possibly can. We're going to get that support from ownership. And so that's why I think this is an exciting time for Kansas City. And I understand, look, Bobby's caught up in the moment, and I get it. And he played that game, and he played his tail off all season long for us. But there's no letdown at all, Bobby, man. Don't think that at all. You got the beginning of what we all think is going to be a great run for you here in Kansas City. And I'm excited excited to watch you move forward, man. You brought a lot of joy to a lot of people this year because you guys played good baseball. Don't feel like you let anybody down. And if you feel like you're let down this morning, rethink that process because Bobby Witt and the Royals didn't let anybody down. They brought us all up this year.
Vinny Pasquantino on how it feels after losing to the Yankees and being out of the playoffs.
We did what we could. It wasn't enough. I don't think anybody in this room is satisfied. But, you know, we got to this point. It sucks that we're not continuing. But, I mean, yeah, I think, you know, this team is full of pretty good composure. So we're not going to, I mean, it doesn't matter. We're going to, because there is no more of this team. So it just sucks. But, yeah, I mean, you guys have seen it. It's a good group of guys. And, yeah, it just sucks.
Isbell's drive to right. How close was this thing to being tied?
It's pretty close. I don't know if he's spoken yet or not, but you know, I thought it was a homer. Didn't have enough, but that's the nature of this beast, right? If people want to blame the stadium, the scores yesterday would have been higher. Like they would have had a few. We would have had a, so it was a good swing. He was out. It wasn't enough, but that. You know, it happens. It sucks that it happened, but we didn't do enough offensively. And, I mean, just sucks.
And he's right. They didn't do enough offensively. I mean, and we've got all offseason to talk about how they need to go out and get a bat. I don't think anybody's looking around going, yeah, you know, they're fine offensively. You know, no, they need another bat in that lineup. There's no question about that. And you wonder, too, if Vinny didn't get hurt, how good he would have been in the postseason, right? I think we kind of lost that. And that really stinks as well when you lose a key player like that. Because, look, as we know, this dude is not 100%, but went out there and busted his ass and gutted it out and, you know, came up with a big hit last night. And you wonder if Vinny was healthy going into the postseason, how much better they could have been offensively, because it was an already offensively challenged lineup, right? And then you take that bat out of it and it shrinks a little bit more. I was listening to our sister station yesterday and they're like, the Royals just have two hitters, just pitch around them and you'll be fine. And they weren't wrong by that. It was Witt and Salvi that they were talking about, obviously, as the two legit hitters in that lineup for the Royals. And so you pitch around them, and if they get beat by, you know, everybody else, and you get beat by everybody else. So, you know, they understand where they are. And the ballpark thing is interesting because as it was Isbell's home run that died out there, and then MJ had a home run that kind of died out there as well, right? And I received a text from somebody in one of the front offices of Major League Baseball, and they go, when we plan and game plan for Kauffman Stadium in October, we plan on that wind blowing in and taking about 7 to 9 feet off of balls that are hit out to right field because that's the way the wind works out there. And that's kind of the way it was last night. If it wasn't that windy, if it was July, those are home runs at Kauffman Stadium. And those are game-changing home runs at Kauffman Stadium. But they say it's about a 7 to 9 foot drop when that wind swirls out there in October. And then we saw those two balls kind of die on the warning track last night. And you think to yourself, damn, if that wind wasn't swirling and blowing in, those two balls would have been gone and the Royals would have been going back for game five.
No doubt. And I think that, you know, Vinny's right. You can talk about the stadium and the depth and all that sort of thing, but I think there's inside of that, inside of those quotes, is both he and Bobby, and you say let people down, and, you know, people can be negative Nancy's all they want and say, oh, Bobby didn't show up in the playoffs. It's his first attempt.
It was his first attempt. Patrick Mahomes didn't show up in the first half against the New England Patriots either.
And, I mean, I had, you know, guys in the text group, and, you know, it's like, you know, do we put Bobby Wood Jr. in the same category as Aaron Judge in the postseason? I said, absolutely not. This was Bobby Wood Jr.'s first crack at the postseason.
Aaron Judge has had many postseason failures.
Bobby Wood Jr. was essentially the reason that you won that series against Baltimore.
Yeah,
he kind of disappeared a little bit in the Yankee series, but got a hit last night. Mm-hmm. You know, didn't steal. I know a lot of people are mad about that. You can get into the analytics and the stats of baseball, but I think the thing that you take away the most from this season, at least from what I took away, is that this team gave you a reason to believe that baseball is back and that this is the team moving forward. You're going to see accusations in the offseason, and if you don't think that you will, I tell yourself, go back and look at this past offseason. Lugo, Waka, Bobby Witt Jr. got a contract extension. Yeah. Look at the trade deadline. Lucas Irsig was one of the greatest trade deadline accusations that this team has made
in
the history of the
franchise.
They're probably
not in the playoffs if they don't trade for Lucas Irsig.
No, guaranteed.
They're not in the playoffs if they don't go out and get Lucas Irsig. And I will say this, Brilliant move by Q to put him in that situation when he did. And we talked about it yesterday on the show. We said, you bring in Irsay in early if you're in that type of situation. And that's what they did. And Irsay got out of it. And that was a brilliant move, I thought, by Mac Quattrero to bring him in. Because people will say, well, what about the ninth inning? Well, if you don't get through the fifth, you ain't getting to the ninth. So you got to bring your best pitcher in the most important situation. And I think Mac Quattrero did that last night. I thought we saw a lot of good managerial moves from Mac Quattrero in this. And I'll be honest with you, Dusty, listening to his post-game press conference drive at home, he don't have time for reporters' nonsense. There was a couple of questions that were asked in that press conference. And I know you and I could sit here and make fun of these questions all we want. But at one point, like Matt was just disgusted with some of these questions that were being asked last night. And I don't blame him. I mean, you just got your teeth kicked in and people are asking some bizarro questions. And I love the way that he handled the post-game press conference. I love the way that he handled this team. I love the fact that you could tell he was pissed after that game last night, and that's going to drive him as well, because a lot of times you don't see emotion and things like that from people in baseball. They do it day to day. Q showed emotion last night. Bobby, Vinny, all these guys showed that emotion that you want to see, you know, going forward with this organization. So I look at last night and I go, yeah, small loss, but big picture speaking, this thing's moving in the right direction. And you're right, Dusty. They spent money this offseason. Do you really think they're going to sit back and kick their heels up and go, okay, we're good, we made the wild card round, or whatever the case may be? No. Now they looked at it. They got the taste of success. Remember your first taste of success, Dusty? Yeah. Remember that first time you had that sweet nectar? I need more of this. That's where the Royals are right now. Winning is addictive. And I think when you have the funds to fund your addiction like winning is right now, it gets better and better and better. And I think that's the way John Sherman and the ownership group and Eric Stonestreet and Patrick Mahomes are going to write checks, and we're going to get better players in here and continue to move this thing forward. Let's go.
Yep.
Well, just on your point with Q, I was listening to that too, Bob. Super bizarre questions, but
we have that audio? Somebody asked a question, Q's like, what?
Yeah, he's literally like, what are you talking? Just taken aback. But the thing that I took from Q's press conference mainly on the drive home was he was pissed, like you said, emotional, but specifically for the team.
Yeah.
He was pissed for his guys, and he kept bringing that up, like how great those guys are and how much work they put in and the passion in that locker room and that ball club. And I just thought, okay, the camaraderie, the chemistry, the culture has been set for the future of this team.
Yeah, and ultimately that's the way you should view it, right? It's not about you. And I think that's how Ned was until Ned won the world championship. Then it became a lot about Ned, right? Mm-hmm. It was all about me doing the farewell tour and all that, which is great, fine, whatever. But Q last night understood that this is a player's game. Players play the game, and it's all about them. Without the players, the manager in a regular season is giving you maybe 10, games a year where they make a difference, and they make a difference in the postseason. I thought he was really good in the postseason, but he understands this is a player's game. It's all about the players, and when you have the players, you have a chance to win.
I think the other thing that's important about this is that next year we'll have the 10-year anniversary of the 2015 team.
And we should celebrate the hell out of it.
And then that's it.
Yeah.
And because this is your team now moving forward.
Yeah.
The 14 year was celebrated this year.
Right.
The 15 year will be celebrated next year.
Absolutely.
Because we already got a spoiler alert from Haas, who joined us earlier this year. He's like, yeah, we'll do it again next year.
Right.
And then now moving forward, this is now your Royals team. This is now the team, like the 14-15 team. It was fun. It's been a decade. And this team gave you promise that team can be moved on from. And now you can put your faith and your trust in this team, because I can guarantee you they will add something in the offseason.
Oh, yeah.
A bat, an arm. I very much think this is going to be a bad taste to take to taste, but Michael Wacha is probably gone.
Well,
he can pick up an option for $60 million. I listen to Vern. I agree. I encourage him to go test the market.
Oh, absolutely. Why wouldn't you?
I mean,
right?
Absolutely.
I encourage you to test the market.
Right.
I encourage everybody to test the market.
Yeah, well, nobody's calling me yet. I'll let you know ahead of time, and then you can give me some advice.
I will, yeah.
But no one's calling Dusty Likens yet. But
when somebody calls, you got to listen. Like, all these folks that think, he should just stay here. No, he's got a family to take care of. You got to listen, and maybe he gets more money out of the Royals, or maybe he says, you know what? I really like it here. I want to sign an extension. Give me some cash and I'll stay here in Kansas City. But I mean, he was a huge addition, this offseason for the Royals. And I think what's different, this is going to be the first time that truly any of us are celebrating an anniversary of a Royals championship when we have a good team on the field as well. You think back to, 85 and then 95, it was the 10-year anniversary. That was, a strike shortened season at the beginning of the year anyway. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how much celebration went into that. And then I was around obviously for the 20-year celebration in 2020. 2015, and I remember them doing it, and we were all sitting there going, God, this team hasn't been good in 20 years. Like, you had that feeling, and then they celebrate, you know, like the 25th anniversary. You're like, oh my God, we're still doing this. Like, come on. And even George Brett to the point, like, I'm tired of 85. Right.
Yeah.
So we're going to be celebrating 2015 next year, the 10-year anniversary of the last World Series championship. But we're going to look back and go, yeah, but we were in the playoffs last year, and we're above 500 this year, and we're already challenging for the division and all this kind of stuff. And it's going to be a celebration plus an appreciation of having winning baseball in Kansas City. And we've never done that before here in KC.
No.